All right, if you will, turn to Romans chapter 8. Unless you got a question. Anybody got a question you want to deal with? Okay. If you will, join in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you provide us a place to meet in, and we continue to pray for the business that meets here, that you meet their needs, to keep the doors open. And Father, we thank you for all our blessings, and Father, we ask you to clear our hearts and our minds of worldly situations, and let us be attentive to your word, and we ask you to teach us your word by your Spirit. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick, those that have burdens on their hearts and their minds. We ask you to comfort these people and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding. And Father, we ask you most of all to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And Romans chapter 8, begin with me in verse. Let's see here. Let's go to verse 11. Let's start in verse 11. But if the Spirit, and that's, you'll notice that's a capital S, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. For if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I believe Paul is talking to saved people, and you'll notice that these saved people that have the Spirit of God in them are still in a mortal body. They're not in an immortal body yet. They are not born again. These people here are new creatures in Christ. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. And in the context of Romans chapter 8, a reference to living in the flesh, that would be living in the law, satisfying the flesh by the law, in other words. Now, verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Well, we're all going to die someday. I'll go to sleep. I can't die, but I may have to go to sleep someday in Christ, you understand? Now, verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. In other words, the wages of sin is death. What shows us what sin is? The law. You understand? 1 John chapter 4, sin's a transgression of the law. Now, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Are we the children of God? Now, here comes what I want to deal with. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs with God. Amen. Thank you. I am not an heir with God. I'm an heir of God. You understand? I'm equal to God by being a child of God, led by the Spirit of God and not by the law. You understand? Now, watch what he says here. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Are we joint heirs with Christ?
Yes.
Ain't that what he said?
Yes.
All right. Watch what he says there now. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Is Jesus Christ an heir of all things? Come on, talk to me, is he?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible just said, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, didn't Paul tell us in Romans chapter 8 that we are joint heirs with Christ?
Yes.
Well, are we heirs of all things?
Yes.
Some of y'all looking at me like I've lost my mind. I may have, what little I have. Are we heirs of all things with Christ?
Yes. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Sir?
I said, Ephesians, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in
heavenly places. Ephesians 1, verse 3. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are we?
Yes.
Now watch what he says in verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the world. Well, do we have an inheritance in Christ? What is Christ an inheritor of?
All things.
Well, let's go back and start with Abraham. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I remember years ago, Brother Moore taught us not to sell ourselves short of our blessings. I don't know if any of y'all remember that or not. Are we blessed in Christ?
Amen.
Is Christ an heir of all things?
Amen.
Does that make me a joint heir with him?
Absolutely.
Sure does. Does that make me equal with God in Christ?
Yeah.
It sure does. I'm an heir of God. How? In Christ. Christ, in the book of Hebrews, said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, I'm going to say right here this. God's throne above all the heavens, wherever that's at. Jesus Christ, in the book of John, came down, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Those in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those that the book of Hebrews was written to. God at sundries times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us, not the church, the body of Christ, spoken to Israel. He spoke to them directly. He was with them. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among them. The Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and gave him a dispensation. Now we are his adopted children, and we are heirs to everything that Jesus Christ had through God the Father. And he, if you'll study John 17, Jesus Christ had all of this before the foundation of the world. Didn't he? John 17, he said, glorify thy Son with the glory that he had with thee before the world was. So everything that God gave to Jesus Christ as an inheritance is mine. You understand? Are you confused? Alright, hang in there with me. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And this steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Abram said, behold, to me thou hast not given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Does Abraham have an heir? He thinks. But wait a minute. Watch what God tells him. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Well, the one born in Abraham's house is not his heir, is it? But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Is Abraham going to inherit some land? Verse 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And that God tells him something to do. Go to chapter 17. Chapter 17. Verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Did God promise Abraham a land grant? Did he promise it to his seed after him? Go with me and let's take... Well, you know, I have a hard time sometimes lining these things up right. So if I get them just a little bit back and all y'all understand, go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Does Abraham and his seed have a promise? They sure do. In Matthew 21, let's start in verse 33. The context starts in verse 33, so I'm going to pick up reading there. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder who planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen, went to a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servant to husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husband took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son. We're talking about Jesus Christ now. Saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husband saw the son, Israel, they saw him. They said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. Did Jesus Christ inherit Abraham's promise? Yeah. Did he? Yeah. Ain't Jesus Christ the heir?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, take two passages. Take Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Take Acts. I'll tell you what. Don't take Acts. Take Romans chapter 4. Let's do it there, and then maybe we'll go to Acts. Galatians chapter 3. Romans chapter 4. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 3. And it has to do with Abraham. Go to verse 13. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. When you'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and 27, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man does annul it, nor addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not as to seeds, but of as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Was Christ the seed of Abraham? Was he the heir to the promise of Abraham? Come to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And then if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are these Galatians that Paul writes to, are they heirs to the land? What was the promise God made to Abraham? The land. Well, that ain't no problem. Well, these Galatians that Paul wrote to, covenant promises with Abraham through the being in the seed of Christ, those who first trusted in Christ, Ephesians 1:12, are they in the covenants of promise?
Yeah.
He said they were. Well, are they looking for a land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob back here?
Yes.
Yeah. Have we lost our heirship?
No.
Are we heirs of all things that Christ is the heir of? Go to Romans chapter 4. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father of these Gentiles claimed to be the seed of Abraham? They claimed Abraham as their father, right? You'll find that also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How that all our fathers were under the cloud back here. Alright. What shall we say then? Abraham, our father, claimed the flesh hath found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. Did we read back in Genesis that Abraham believed God and God counted to him for righteousness? All right. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. How did Abraham receive that promise?
By faith.
By faith. Through grace. Right?
Uh-huh.
Did Abraham work for it?
No.
No, he didn't. You can't go back there and show me where Abraham worked for it. Abraham believed God. God counted his faith to believe what he said he would do, as in the case of Genesis 22. The chosen seed, Isaac. God said to Abraham, take Isaac, thine only son. Did God recognized the son by the concubine. He said, this is not thy heir. The child that shall come out of thy bowels shall be thine heir. Right? Through Abraham's seed came the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Heir to the promises back here. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Did God count Abraham's faith to him for righteousness?
Yes.
He sure did. Anybody got a question before we go any further? All right, let's read on a little bit. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law. Was God's promise to Abraham through the law? No, it was not. He just said so. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham but to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Beloved, I hope you get a grip on that. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Could we transgress a law of God today?
No.
We're not under the law. Was Abraham under the law back here?
No.
No, he was not. Did Abraham have the law?
No.
God gave it to him by promise, by his faith. What did Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7? We walk by faith, not by sight. Well, how many people in this world do you know that are walking by faith? Probably count them on your hands, can't you?
Yeah.
Most of them are walking and working, trying to keep the law to be good so God will take them to heaven. Well, you know, I'm not as bad as old so-and-so over yonder. I watch him, he gets drunk and he talks dirty and he walks on the grass, and I've seen him kicking cats and stuff and all kind of things, and I'm not like him. God's got to let me in. No, God ain't got to do nothing outside of what Christ did for you at Calvary. Now, this thing here just gets me. Verse 16 again. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. Was Abraham's faith counted to him for righteousness?
Yes.
Well, how was it counted to him? By God's grace. Now, he's not in the dispensation of grace. That's very important that you see this. That these people here and first trusted in Christ, did they have grace? Did those who first trusted in Christ have grace?
Yes.
They sure did. But wait a minute. We over here live in the dispensation of grace. You understand? We never had no law. These people were under the law. You know how you know that? Go back to Galatians and take Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians 2, Paul's dealing with Peter and some of the apostles there. I'm just going to come to the context of verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Can anybody be justified by the law? Here. Those who first trusted in Christ. But didn't Paul tell them in Romans 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested and being witnessed by the law and the prophets? Now, in while you're here, go to verse chapter 1 in Galatians chapter 1 verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Well, is there any other gospel in here that could save anybody other than the gospel of Christ? Didn't Paul tell him in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's what he told him. Well, there's not another gospel in here. But Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Now come over to chapter 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth, crucified among you? This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Well, how did they receive it? By the hearing of faith. Go back, hold your place in, and go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 28, Romans 3:28. Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, that's very clear, ain't it?
Yeah.
Is there any kind of law that you can keep that would justify you? No. Verse 29, now this gets important. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing that is one God, which shall justify the circumcision, that's in reference to Israel, by faith, and uncircumcision of heathens, the Gentiles, through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. In other words, no law in here. Grace. Covenant promises. Over here, no law. Total grace, no covenant promise. Do you know what fascinates me about this? These people here lose their Abrahamic blessing. You know how that God did that?
Joined them to us.
Yeah, we're joined together in one body, all of us. But what did God do? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time passed, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, but now, thank God for the but nows in Paul's epistles. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Am I heir of that? I certainly am. I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's part of my inheritance. Without the law, he took these two groups of people here and made one new man out of them. And you know what that new man is? You got any idea? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one verse, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. In other words, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, God did a work in Christ. He made these two groups of people one new man. And we ascended up far above all heavens with Christ, in Christ, in heavenly places. That is part of mine inheritance. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, let's do something here. We've already quoted the verse, but let's look at it. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, both groups, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Are we in Christ?
Yes.
Go to verse 11. In whom, in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Have we obtained an inheritance in Christ? Well, beloved, according to the Bible, whatever Christ has inherited, so have I.
Amen.
You've got to remember, what is this body of these believers right here? It's a body, ain't it? It's a masculine body. One new man. Jesus Christ, the man. You understand? By one man, Adam, sin entered the world. By one man, righteousness came into the world. By his death, you understand? So, one new man was resurrected. If you please, he was a new creature in Christ. That's what he said. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. One new creature. It is a body of believers. Each believer in the body as it is pleased God. You understand? Now, watch what he says here. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, that being predestinated has to do with God's foreknowledge, you understand? Knowing that whoever would trust Christ as their Savior out of this group or this group here would be a new man in Christ when Christ was raised from the dead. Now, go to chapter... Just go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do we have an inheritance? We ain't can't lose it, can we? Can you? No, you can't. Go to chapter 3. Now, here comes something else. Chapter 3. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward which is the inheritance. No, no, no. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons with God. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I'm going to say that that appearing is Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 18. When the Lord appeared to the apostle in Acts 9, he gave him this message here for the Jew and the Gentile. In Acts 18, he told him to get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to receive my word, your word concerning me. He said, I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles. Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise, such as us. But are we partakers of his promises in Christ? How? By the gospel. Go back with me and take Colossians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 6 again. Colossians 4 and Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Is Paul making known the mystery of the gospel to some people? Yes. Go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer. Watch in the same, with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it the mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Well, beloved, Paul's been preaching the gospel of Christ for years. What is he talking about? Make known the mystery that these people here in Ephesians, in Colossians, can have the same promise in the gospel, in Christ, by the gospel. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, and that's exactly what Paul says there. In Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, and I suspect that was given to him in Acts chapter 18. And he told them in Acts 22 about this message here that he received while he was in the temple, and they said, away with such a fellow, it ain't fit that he should live. Paul became a prisoner from Acts 22 until the end of his life, until he wrote 2 Timothy there, the time of my departure is at hand. I can see Paul knowing the day that he's going to get killed for preaching this mystery here to people such as us that have no hope without God in the world, not in the covenants of promise, and people don't like it still. Even some of our grace preachers don't like it. And some of them have turned from it, and they will not receive a crown. Why? Because they have not kept the faith. Now, I know some of them that I know personally that I believe they used to see it. Now they're turning from it. You know why? So they can have fellowship. Well, I'm not going to turn from it just to have fellowship. I may have to sit home without a class and study by myself, but jolly well, that's what I'll do if it comes to it. Because I know what Paul said, all men have forsook me. You know what Paul said? Pray that God wouldn't lay it to their charge. Ain't that something? Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, and I'm saying we are still now in that dispensation. It's the dispensation of total grace, without any covenant promises, without any law, without any doings of our part. It's all by the grace of God. And when that time is ended. The rapture will take place. We'll go out to meet the Lord. And whatever we've done and built on Paul's foundation, the fire will try our work of what sort it is. You understand? Now, watch what Paul says here. Verse 2 again. If you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. What mystery? The mystery of the gospel. The mystery of Christ. When Christ died at Calvary, he not only died for these here that were in the covenant of promise, he also died for us, and he also died for these back here that were under the law. Did he not? Yes, he did. Well, beloved, I'm an heir of all of it. Why? Being in Christ. You've got to understand, here's the head up here, and here's the body down here. With arms, legs, feet, eyes, nose, mouth, ears, everything that you have on your body, this body, masculine body, has, and I'm a member of his body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. I'm a member of his body, and whatever he inherited, I'm a joint heir with him. And there's something very fascinating about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 and 14. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. You know who reigns? Y'all know who reigned back here in the Old Testament? Kings. Authority. If you suffer, and you know how you suffer? By preaching the Word of God rightly divided. Preach Paul's epistles rightly divided, you'll suffer. But someday, if you suffer with him now, you'll reign with him later. I bet y'all ain't thinking. What did Peter preach in Acts chapter 2? That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to sit on the throne of his father David. Was it just the head going to be there?
No, the body.
The body's going to be. Who's his body? I'm part of it. Are you a part of it? If you're saved, you're part of that body. Where are you going to be? You're going to be with Christ. The head and the body going together. They ain't going to separate. I'm an inheritor of everything that Jesus Christ has. God promised me that. That's part of my inheritance. And I can't lose it. Now watch what he says. Now I can lose reigning with him if I choose not to suffer. See, if the fire gets too hot on my backside back here, I might run. You know what I mean? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 again. If you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. I'm going to say that's Acts 18. The mystery of the gospel, mystery of Christ. Verse 5, which in other ages, what? This mystery that was revealed to Paul, Acts 18, was not made known in time past. And which in other ages, even this age right here, was not made known until the sons of men, as it is now, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Who revealed this to Paul? Spirit of Almighty God did. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Well, I'm a fellow heir. How? Because I'm in Christ. Shall be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's praying that he may make known the mystery of the gospel. What is that mystery? That these low-down Gentiles over here that were not in the covenants of promise, they didn't bless the seed of Abraham, they didn't care about that seed of Abraham, they are now in the body with those who first trusted in Christ. one new man out of the group of people here. Now, one or two last things here. Go with me to, let's just do something. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Let's do that. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Did Jesus Christ make the world? Did he?
Yes.
Go, hold your place and go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1. And this verse 13, who is a reference to his Son, a reference to God through his Son, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether we be thrones or dominions or principalities, our powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is the before all things. By him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, that be all things in heaven and earth, even in him. You understand? So I'm a joint heir with him. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, God's glory, the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And you will know the verses, but let's look at them. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, the reason God called the church, the body of Christ, you're fixing to see. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Well, who is the Son in the image of? God the Father. Am I an inheritor of God? I'm a joint heir of God, ain't I?
Yeah.
Well, am I in the same capacity as Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Look at Philippians. Go with me to the book of Philippians. Go to chapter 2, verse, let's start in verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was in the mind of Christ? I'm equal with God. I'm his expressed image. Isn't he? Well, in Christ, are we the expressed image of God? Well, certainly we are. I'm an inheritor of God, a joint heir of God. Not with Him, of Him. Verse 6. Who? Jesus Christ. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, would it be wrong for me to claim to be equal with God in Christ? Not in this body now. I'm an old sore, low-down rascal in this body. You don't know me like I know me. I'm sorry. I ain't no good. But in Christ, I'm equal with God. I'm an heir of God. A joint heir with Christ. Jesus Christ is the express image of God. That's why Paul said, henceforth know we no man. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. These pictures you see in these churches of Christ, that's probably the Antichrist. Look what he says here in Philippians 2. Verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he didn't go around bragging back here, well, you know, I can just say the word and you'll just go up in a puff of smoke. Boy, I wish God would give me that power.
Yeah.
If I had that power, I probably wouldn't be here. I'd probably done that myself. I know what none of y'all got no enemies that y'all would just like to say, and they'd be gone. No, the Lord knows that we're pretty sorry. He told us from Genesis all the way through this, none good, no, not one. Man, look what he says here. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Well, was Jesus Christ made in the likeness of a man back here? They looked at him just like any other man back here. You know what they said in John chapter 19? We'll not have this man to reign over us. He's a man. He's a man like we are. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Praise God that he did. You know, he had, you know, and I understand that people get the thing all mixed up when they go back there and they see where he was crying with great big tears and asking God to save him from death. I don't believe he was asking God to save him from going to Calvary. He knew for this purpose he came into the world. He said he came to do the will of God the Father. Will of God the Father when he sent him was to die for men's sins, past, present, and future. He died for men's sins. I believe what he was saying, I got the power, I can just quit breathing and die. And I won't have to go through all this suffering. But you know what God said? Jesus Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. Well, what was the will of God? That he humbled himself, become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, for people such as us. People out yonder, they don't even think about him many times, except maybe Christmas and Easter. So why ain't we got more people in here than we have? People don't want the truth no more. You know what they want? They want to sing songs and play fairy tales and you watch them on TV, the Osteens and a bunch like that, and the Richard Roberts, they just make me sick. I get sick belly when I watch some of them people, all the lying they do in the name of God. One last thing. Verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Did God highly exalt Jesus Christ? Well, I got good news for you. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see what he did. Verse 4. But God, thank God, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Did God love you after you confessed all your sins? No, he loved you while you was dead in your sins. In other words, we bunch of dead dogs, you know. No way to get to God, but God, in his infinite mercy, loved us. Look what he says here in Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Reason that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They can boast and brag all they want, but if they ever get to heaven, it's because they went through what Christ did at Calvary through the message that was committed to the Apostle Paul, that Christ died for our sins. No other way to get there. Now, I don't know if I've helped you any or not. My time's up. I appreciate you being here this morning. It's good to see you. Lord willing, we'll see you next Sunday.